Well, if everything was created through him and he was nailed on that cross, then everything was risked for your life. Everything of value, seen and unseen, was placed upon that cross. Because if he didn't make it, nothing else did either. He risked it all for you. So when you struggle with the things of life, and you struggle whether or not you should serve, whether you should be reaching out, whether you should be preaching the cross, what greater reason than your life? And that the fact that you can preach Christ, not because of who you are and what you're doing right now, but because of what he did in your life. When I reflect on that statement, I kept on thinking about, you know, when you think of somebody's eulogy and you think about the things they say about a person. Now, they say a lot of great things when somebody passes away. And some of it might be exaggerated. Some of it might be true. But God doesn't care about the externals. He cares about the internals. And the scripture verse we read today, found in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, kind of reminds me of that statement of somebody's life, the summarization of their life. And it says this: he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. So this is Cornelius. This is a summarization of who he is, his life. My question to you is, what's your summarization? How would God summarize your life here and now? Here is Raphael, one who makes sure he doesn't miss his weekly TV shows, doesn't skip on the entertainments of the weekend, and is there for every social event. Or here is Raphael, one who, even though he struggles every day, he allows God's will to be first. Even though he's imperfect as an individual, he doesn't trust in his imperfection, but in his perfection. My question is, what is your summarization when God looks at you? Does he say he was a devout, God-fearing man, was with everyone in his household, he gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God? And now the interesting part about this story is this is an outsider, not an insider. So you can say this is someone from the community, but not one from the church. And the one from the community, this is what God is saying. What is God saying about the people within the church? How is he looking at it? And you'll see this play out in the story of chapter 10 through prayer. You know, we were talking about outreach during Sabbath school. Have we been praying for those things? Because in this story, you see that you have Peter who is praying. You have Cornelius that is praying. You have Cornelius that is being faithful with what God has given him, the knowledge he has up to that point. And he's been so faithful that everyone in his household has accepted that knowledge. But he's limited in how far he can go. So God sends a messenger to what? Fill the gap. When you do your community outreach, you're that messenger to fill the gap of those who have been faithful to the point in which God has led them, but now you're the bridge to bring them all the way home. And in this story, you see that Cornelius has been praying. He's been faithful with helping those within his circle, within his neighborhood, those that are in need. And in his prayer moment, God speaks to him. Verse 3. One afternoon about 3:00, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. His life actions have been received by God as a living offering. Can God say the same about us? The things we've done this week, the things we just done this morning, can God look upon it and say, this is a living offering that has been acceptable in my eyes? Verse 7, as soon as the angel, verse 6, he is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and devout soldiers, one of his personal attendants, He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. So you have Cornelius, you have the devout soldier, you have outsiders that are loyal to God, but yet are missing the full message. So God is bridging the gap by saying, I need you to do this. And in the process of doing this, my plan will be worked through you and through who? Peter. And Peter is here visiting Cornelius in the next couple of chapters. And in verse 14 it says, No, Lord, Peter declared, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean. But the voice spoke again, Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. So Peter was in prayer, he went in vision, and he had this dream. Challenging his thought, challenging what he believes to be right according to what he understood. And God doesn't let him rest where he is. God has challenged him to step outside. And in the process of stepping outside, it means shifting from where we believe to be right to where God says things are right. Now, I remember reading an article, and the article talked about a time where there was separation between those that were colored and those that were white. And we don't remember those times because we're blessed to be mixed. We're blessed to be able to say brothers and sisters and not see the color. But there was a time where church was served for one group in one place and another church for another group for another location. And I remember seeing this, I don't know if it was the Adventist Review or some other magazine, but it had a picture, Seventh-day Adventist Church, and a shotgun where it said, Welcome, Happy Sabbath, but you knew not everyone was welcome. And sometimes we don't do that anymore, but we do that in other areas of our life. When we're reaching out to other people, we limit ourselves based on what we're willing to accept as right. You know, if someone is struggling with smoking, we won't do anything for them until they change their what? Their ways, their habits. But that's not our business. What was our business? To share the good news. And I think that's where the church stops growing. And this story is a key moment. They just had the beautiful moment, you know, in Acts, the previous chapter, 3,000 were baptized. The church is growing, but the church is about to hit a stumbling block because it's time for it to go in the direction God wants it to go. But this is a key moment. Will it? Will you be willing to embrace outside of your comfort zone for what God is trying to teach you? You can't do outreach unless you're willing to look outside your comfort zone, unless you're willing to bring people into the church just where they are, just the way they see the world right now, and then through the Holy Spirit, through loving relationships, through role modeling, God will do the rest. I remember a wonderful elder talking about when he first came into the church with his ponytail, and during that generation of the hippies, he said, I served the church, didn't understand why sometimes I didn't get called to do certain things, but they embraced me with my ponytail. They embraced me in Sabbath school, they embraced me in worship, and I spent a couple months like that after being baptized. And one day as I was sitting, ready to do scripture reading, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, it's time to cut it off. And that was a beautiful story. It wasn't, we won't love you unless you change. It was, we'll love you and allow God to do the change. And whenever I see this faithful, conservative elder, I think of the beautiful story that he shared with me about what God did in his life and not what individuals did. And it's amazing because we are going to be challenged. If you want the church to grow, it's going to be challenged. There's no question. But the church being challenged isn't the structure. It's us individually. You know, people will come as they are, and you're going to be like, wait, they have combat boots. How's that happening? It's Sabbath. They're not supposed to have combat boots. You know, they have genes. How's that happening? This church is going down the drain. No, it's God's children coming home. It's God's children coming as they are and feeling loved enough to come as they are. I want you to think about your Sabbath experience on a Sabbath morning where you don't feel like coming to church and you don't come because you weren't ready to fully change into what people were expecting you to change into. That if you were given enough grace that Sabbath morning where you felt the love to come as you are, you would have just came just the way you are. Not fully dressed for Sabbath, but just came and worshiped. Or maybe a Sabbath morning where you woke up a little bit later than usual, knowing you're going to walk in the middle of the service, but you came because you just didn't want to miss your fellowship with your brothers and sisters. If that's happening in your life, you're in a good place. You've experienced grace through God, through His people. Now, within the story of chapter 10, you see that in verse 22 it says, "They said, 'We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man, well-respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message.'" And in verse 25 it says, "As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, 'Stand up, I'm a human being just like you.'" And I think that's the important thing. If you're reaching out, some people will admire the message you're sharing, and they might look at you differently, as if you're that perfect example of what it means to be a Christian. We need to understand to tell them that I'm just like you. I hurt like you. I celebrate like you. It's not about me. It's about who? Jesus. He sent me here to this house. He opened your heart so that at this time in history, we can break bread together. In the name of Jesus. And verse 27 goes on to say, "So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled." So here's an outsider eager for the message. Here's an insider willing to step outside of his comfort zone, to go outside of his traditional upbringing so that the word of God can go out to his children. And the best part about this is, 34, it says, "Then Peter replied, 'I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of God. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all.'" And in verse 43 says, He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." And this is the bridge saying that it's no longer the fact that you're a Seventh-day Adventist that you're saved. You're saved because you're a Christian. And when I reach out to somebody in the community, I am reaching out to them as a representation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but I'm really reaching out to them as a brother in Christ. Keep that in perspective. Allow the things when you come across something that is challenging to what you are used to say, "Lord, everything is equal in your eyes. Your son died for me just as much as the person that is before me. Help me to reach them. And help me to do it through the eyes, through the heart of Christ." Is that an easy thing to do? No. But is it something that God will honor? Yes. And the thing with Peter and Cornelius, think of Peter. He was the man that walked on water and then almost drowned to death, right? He was the man that rebuked Christ when he talked about his death because he was a man of passion. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. That's part of your journey. That's part of the journey that God wants you to take. He wants you to stumble so that maybe you could experience a side of him that you've never experienced before and become a better Christian. Stepping outside of your comfort zone, being something that you're not used to being, is what God is calling all of us to be. Stagnant water doesn't stay healthy for long. But water that flows freely, givingly, is a blessing to everyone in the community. Let His Spirit flow through you and allow your fears not be greater than your faith, but allow your faith to be greater than your what? Fears. I want to close out with the story of Moses. I was reading a book and it talked about the perspective of Moses, how he understood the will of God and he acted upon understanding the will of God, but he acted on his terms. So he took out the Egyptian, right? But he was doing it under the understanding of the will of God, that I need to free my what? People. It took him 40 years of understanding it's not his way, but God's way. You might be in that predicament where you were on fire for God and made certain choices in your life where you felt like you've embarrassed yourself, your name, your walk with Christ. And you've been on that 40-year journey. You've been in the church, but not very active. God is saying, it's not your way, but what? Mine. Step out in faith, not relying on your strength, not relying on the strategies you think are the best, but allow me to teach you. And the thing that I love about Moses as one of my favorite characters is that even on his very last day of life, as great of a man as he became in Christ, he still stumbled. He still struck the rock that God said what? Speak. So yes, you will have an amazing year of outreach. You will have a year where you're going to find yourself going outside of your comfort zone and being successful. But yet sometimes your old nature does creep in and you find yourself stumbling again. But in the story of Moses, it doesn't end there. In the story of Moses, it doesn't end him not entering the promised land. But when you read in the New Testament, it shows that, A, in the transfiguration, he was present. But even before that moment, Jesus came down to his grave and looked upon Satan, who said, he's mine, and said, the Father wants him. May that be the story of our lives. When everything is said and done, that our relationship of knowing God, not knowing of God, is that Christ will come in his second coming and say, she is mine. He is mine. Because the Father wants him. The Father wants her. Not out of our own perfection, not out of the works that we did, but out of the relationship of our life with him. May God bless you.